Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. But just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now. Just you and me.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. This is your host, Dr. Terry Mason, the show, The Doctor in the House. Heard every Sunday for over 30 years right here on AM 1690 WVON. And we are glad and proud to bring you another show. That's going to be a wonderful opportunity for you to learn something about some folks that we don't talk about enough on this show. And that's the little people, the little children. And joining us today is an expert in this area. Dr. David, you want to tell me how to properly pronounce your last name, because I don't want to mess it up.
It's Dr. Enyedike.
Enyedike?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Enyedike, thank you so much for joining us. And you are a pediatrician working out of the departments of pediatrics. And let's talk a little bit about your background, your training, and then we'll get right into why pediatrics is so important and some of the key things that we want our parents and grandparents out there to understand and the things that you do at BioSquare.
Thank you, Dr. Mason. I'm a general pediatrician, and I'm also the site medical director at the 79th Street Mile Square Clinic. I've been practicing almost 25 years now. I'm a graduate of Meharry Medical College and HBCU, and then did my residency training here at U of I. So I've been here in Chicago for quite some time. And we focus on all the kids' specific needs, because kids aren't necessarily just little adults. You know, they have different needs, and every stage they're going through is an entirely different experience, both for the kids and for the parents, so and the family as a whole. So we have to make sure we address that.
Well, tell me, based on the population that you're seeing, what are the major things that pop out to you that are maybe a little different than maybe some children in other populations? But let's talk about the ones that you see and the things that you see that actually some of it that may even trouble you a bit.
We see a wide, everybody's so different. We do see a lot of people struggling, you know, with the school, struggling with the community. I mean, we do have kids who have gone through some major trauma. Sometimes the stuff we deal with in the communities are tough, but, you know, struggling with the schools, getting adequate resources from the schools, getting support in the community, mentorship. Sleep, though, I have to say that's pretty universal. I would always say if we go back to the health stuff, making sure they're sleeping properly, eating properly, we always go back to the basics. But, in the communities we work in, there's, you know, extra obstacles that have to be overcome.
Well, let's go back a bit and talk about some of these issues. What are you finding as some of the top, if I ask you, what were the top five things that you had to deal with in the that pop in the population of children that you serve, what would they be?
The top five, one of the big ones, I guess I would have to say that would may not be what you expect, or maybe, but again, sleep is number one. It affects so many things, and I can't overstate how important it is. I know, I'm sure people are nodding their heads, because especially when you hit with the teenagers and some of these older kids, they know they're not giving themselves the sleep they need. And when they're not sleeping enough, they're having behavioral problems. They're unable to focus at school. They're arguing with their siblings all the time. They're just struggling, you know, to focus and get the things they need to get done, you know, done. Then making sure they're eating properly. And we do have areas that don't have the resources necessary for a good balanced diet. But trying to find a good place with a store that has good produce and good food, but at a decent, affordable price, is getting harder and harder to find. So trying to get, find resources that will get you, you know, a farmer's market. And I know we have in our building, we have a farmer's market that was coming in. We provide, you know, healthy foods for people that they could pay how much they could afford. But just, you know, going, I know people are going and trying out different grocery stores to find out which one's the best, which one gives you good food at a good price. Staying active, our communities, if you're not, you know, playing sports in the schools, a lot of times it's really hard to get to a park where you feel safe. It's hard to, you know, just go for a walk. Some areas you can't just walk. You can't be out and or just take your bike. You know, there's communities where you go out after school and you ride your bike, and there's communities that you don't. And so a lot of times, you know, the kids will go to a playground, but they hit a certain age, and, you know, those options to stay active get, you know, a lot harder to find. You find that, you know, you try to have them dancing at home or dancing with friends, you know, in a small area. And then that activity is even worse in the winter, because, you know, those resources get even more stretched when wintertime comes and the temperature drops, and it's really, really difficult. Then schools, this, you know, I could keep going. I don't know if you want me to keep going, but school, there's just so many issues that come up. Yeah, so many issues with school, just especially kids that are finding themselves with challenges, and they need that extra help. And CPS especially sometimes struggles to meet those needs. But a lot of times what we end up doing as pediatricians is, you know, helping the parents advocate for the children, helping the parents to do what they can to get the kids the resources that they need to do well in school.
Give us an example of those things.
For school?
No, yeah, the examples of some of the resources that you're looking for that may or may not be in the right supply or even present at all.
In general, or just for school and development?
For the children, the patients that you see, the children that you see,
okay.
Things that the people that walk through your... The parent either brings them in, or a grandparent or somebody brings them in. What are those? If I ask you for the top five things that you see that you know, give you some pause, because, you know, there's only so much resource around and you need more. So what would those things be?
Yeah. And that, so the big ones that pop to mind, you know, mental health and development are the two things we need more support with. Mental health is, you know, everywhere, but a lot of times we have to make sure that the families feel comfortable addressing it, and not just the patient, not just the student or the child, but oftentimes the whole family needs support, and so it's often difficult to find enough resources to address what, you know, the kids may need, and then what the family needs as well. Developmentally wise, too, if a kid's behind, you know, we lean pretty heavily on the schools, and we need this, you know, the schools will do an evaluation. We want to make sure that if you are worried that your child is behind, you know, from 0 to 2, there's from 0 to 3, there's early intervention. So you want to make sure that if you have concerns about development with your child, you do reach out to your physician or your healthcare provider, so that can be addressed. because there are, you know, resources can be a little thin in certain areas. So you want to make sure you get that addressed as early as possible. And once they hit age three, then, you know, the schools take over that, and some schools don't have resources. So, yeah, it's tough because you've heard of the busing issues, and because some of our schools don't have the necessary resources, and then they don't have the necessary busing to get you where the resources are, it can be tough. So you want to make sure, you know, you contact the school to get that addressed as well.
Now, these psych kinds of things you're talking about, these resources, the resources that you find lacking, sounds like they are or some sort of other support things. Can you just, so our listeners can be clear about what it is that is in short supply, and then maybe what steps they can, if any, take to try and bring more light to this problem and deal with the appropriate authorities to do something about it?
Yeah, so we're lucky, actually, working at Mile Square Health Centers. We are lucky for our adult patients because we have, you know, walk-in mental health facilities. So you can literally walk in to one of the clinics with behavioral health services, walk in without insurance, walk in without an appointment, and be seen for mental health care, which is awesome. But that doesn't extend all the way down to, you know, our youngest patients. It is, you know, I always have to advocate for that. I want to make sure everybody's aware, because there's, for the adults as well, for the teenagers, you know, that is a blessing to have that available when, you know, the kids are going through such, you know, difficult times, especially since the pandemic. That's very, you know, it's an excellent resource to have. It's been really helpful for so many people. For the kids, though, it can be very difficult. And a lot of times they're starting, that you can see issues starting at a very young age. And so trying to get them the necessary resources can be tough. Depending on the type of issues they're having, I know I've referred kids to different types of therapists, like an occupational therapist, or and those, they deal with the sensory symptoms, things that you may see in typically an autistic kid, but you know, it can be difficult to diagnose things because you see different symptoms in different people. But yeah, that's why it's important to see a specialist, and I would always recommend people do talk to their healthcare provider for any issues they're aware of, because there are different options available, and it's hard to give sweeping statements on where to send them. But yeah, we do, yeah, our communities don't have as many specialists. A lot of times when you do identify what the problem is, there's a bit of a commute to get your child or your grandchild to the necessary services. You may have to drive quite a distance. So we do try to make sure we find something generally close and make it convenient for the family. Hopefully that answers the question.
yeah, that does. But I'm just trying to do for our listeners to get to understand that coming to see you as a pediatrician is more than coming to see the shots up to date or that sort of thing. Right. There are other issues that you are having to look at and try and figure out what the necessary resource is needed. Whether it's there or not is another issue, but at least what's needed so the appropriate referral can be made. You mentioned some things about some behavioral health issues and some other kinds of things. What kinds of other things do you see commonly, I mean, other than a common cold and that kind of thing, but what else are you seeing that that is troubling?
Yeah, we do see a lot of symptoms or a lot of things that we were seeing more in adults, and you can see it in you know, the youth at very young now. You know, it starts, you'll see some hyperactivity and inattention. And that can start at very young ages. And usually if they're younger, the cause is different. So we have to, as a pediatrician, I'm checking before we start putting them on medication or before we're going to you know, be sending them to the specialist. There's a different list of things we're checking out. Like I said, sleep or other issues going on that can cause those symptoms. And even in younger kids, we'll see stuff like anxiety and depression. But in a kid who's 5 years old, that looks different. It may be, you know, that they're scared to go to school all the time, or maybe they're having tummy aches all the time, headaches or stomach pain all the time. And so we're seeing that in sometimes in kids as well. And so that's, you know, then the teenagers, and the teenagers are the whole wealth of things that we do see. And then trying to get them to the necessary resources, because it's hard. If you're on, the insurance matters too. So most of our patients, you know, are on public insurance. And so there's a lot less resources available to them than some of them who might have, you know, private insurance or a different type of plan. So we end up, those places that do serve our population then end up being very full, over full, and the waiting list is long. And you know, you're trying to get around the waiting list, but it can be difficult. That's why when we do identify a problem, we want to make sure that we get it addressed as soon as possible, because there may be a little bit of a wait before we can get them to see the specialist.
You know, this is really important. And you mentioned some things. You mentioned food, and you mentioned stressors, like, and not sleeping. How common is that? Is that maybe once you see once in a day, or is it more common, far more common than that, in a day's worth or a week's worth of patients that you see?
We see that. Yeah, sleep, foods, and stressors. We see every single day. And it's just the society we live in, this 24-hour society, is really is hard on kids. I mean, it's hard on the adults, but I think a lot of times we don't maybe necessarily think about how the stuff that's stressing us out as adults, how it is for these kids who used to be sheltered from all these things. A lot of the stuff that, you know, we are exposed to as adults, maybe as much as 30 years ago, kids just weren't exposed to a lot of it. And now they see it all the time on their phones, on the internet, or even on television. And so these are all stressors that they have to deal with.
Give an example of those, because I want the parents to be clear. Give an example. I'm sorry for interrupting, but I don't want you to get past this point, because I want to make sure that the parents that are listening, or people that take care of the children, are listening, so they know exactly what you're talking about. So give some examples of some of these things providing these kinds of stressors for the students or for the children.
That they're more exposed to now? Because, yeah, we get the kids, when we get kids on the phones, for example, on a really young age, you know, we can debate the benefits of that, but they're definitely exposed to so much. You know, these fads on the internet, they're exposed to the news. I mean, we see so much graphic news now, not just because they have access, but because there's cameras everywhere. So while we used to just hear about crime, we see crime now a lot more than we used to. And so it almost normalizes it. So that's, you know, the world we used to live in felt more safe and more, you know, isolated from all these bad things that used to happen. And then you just heard about it. You didn't see it. Now, every time there's a crime, they have video. Every time something bad happens, you get to see, and they have to, you know, censor out some of the stuff in there. But as adults, they're censoring it out for the adults, but the kids are seeing this too. And so this is a lot of stress for kids to see. This is their world. And they're growing up in a world that was different than the world that we grew up in. And so some of them, you know, we have to give them a safe space coming home. We need to, you know, try to give them a safe space, a place where they can talk, a place where they can, you know, try to figure out what they just saw. Because as they hit certain ages, they're going to see things that, you know, are going to be difficult to understand. And you don't want them to have to rely on friends or somebody in the playground to work it out for them. So we do want to be available as adults to answer those questions. And if we don't have a good answer, we need to tell them that. Maybe you don't have to say, I don't know, because some people have trouble saying that, but you can say, look, we'll find somebody who can answer this for you. And that's often what we do as, you know, specialists, because I'm a pediatrician, but I don't know everything. And if I don't know the answer to you, I will find somebody who can answer it for them. And just give them a safe space. Let them know that they don't have to handle this. This is not on them to handle all these weird and difficult things that they see every day.
Wow. This is, you know, you think about this, you don't think about the stressors. Children are being exposed to stressors that used to be things only adults were, or older children were, but now we have younger children. And I would imagine, Doctor, you see that the younger children, how can you tell, or how do you begin to suspect that there may be something with the younger child who may not be appropriately, or even the older one that may not be verbalizing these things?
Especially the younger ones will see symptoms or will see things happening that may not seem to have a clear reason, like headaches or tummy aches, like I was saying earlier. Especially in younger kids, we see that a lot, where they just get all that anxiety or all the emotions they're feeling and ends up coming out in the body. But you may see a change in their mood or a change in behavior. They may seem quieter. They may seem harder to reach, avoiding school. Depending, where the stressor is coming from, you might see them reacting differently in those situations. A lot of times people kind of say, oh, it'll be fine. But I always tell, especially parents, trust your instincts. If you're worried about something and you feel something's not right, then it's good to have, to talk to your doctor, talk to your healthcare provider, have a little talk, even have them see, a counselor if that's available, to kind of work through that and figure out, everything that's going on. Because we don't want to have to work through these things. We don't want to have to push through these things. And if a child is going through something and we can give them the skills or the tools to work through stressors or anxiety or these difficult emotions at a really young age, these are tools they will use the rest of their lives, and they will continue to refine or work on those skills as they get older and older, to the point where they can be adults teaching other kids or other people these same skills to help them to do well, or their own children, for example.
Let's talk about where you are, and if people wanted to try and get in to see you, where would they call, or how would they get in touch?
I'm at the Mile Square Health Center. It's an immediate care and primary care center on 79th Street. We're actually in the Healthy Hub building, so we actually share the building with a number of other community programs that serve the Auburn Gresham neighborhood. But Mile Square has 11 locations across the South and West Side. My location's at just off of Halsted on 79th Street. You can call our main number, 312-996-2000, for appointments there. I don't know if I can do a whole commercial for our clinic, because I end up doing that all the time.
We want people. The whole point is to let people know where you are and how they can get in touch. So that's information that's necessary, because you've uncovered a lot, and if people are having issues, I want them to be able to know where to go or how to get in touch or that sort of thing. Make an appointment, or at least try and get in to see you or the people that work with you. Now, you have more than one doctor in that facility?
Yes, and actually we have, I'm the pediatrician there. We actually have a pediatric dentist there and a number of regular dentists as well. So we have a lot of pediatric services there. And actually it's worth saying that our family doctors are there, and we have actually other providers in family medicine. And we are doing a lot of school physicals now, so it's worth mentioning that we are taking care of those. And we will do, our media care center actually does handle school physicals. We have been doing school physicals. So a lot of our families have been coming to us for that. And one of the great things about having an immediate care there is we're on the same computer network as most of the other providers. So your doctor will see the notes that we put in there, even if you have to come over to us just for once or twice. But a lot of times I feel people will come over and then stay with us, because we also have the women's health and we have the behavior health, which I mentioned, and we are an FQHC, which is worth mentioning. So we will take people regardless of their ability to pay. But come in, see us. We're open Monday through Saturday, so we can definitely help out families who need those resources.
So Monday through Saturday, what time?
Oh, we're open. Well, for appointments, it's 9 to 5. But we take walk-ins until 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and we take walk-ins until 5 p.m. on Saturday.
Is there a phone number they need to call first?
For walk-ins, no. But for appointments, yeah, you can call the main number, the 312-996-2000. But we're open almost every day. It's very rare we have to close for any reason.
So that's 312-996-2000?
Yes, sir. And we're at 839 West 79th Street.
839 West 79th Street. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So that's right, 839. So that's very close to 79th and Halsted.
Yes. Yeah, we're right next to Leo High School.
Right next door to Leo High School. And if a parent, do you accept walk-ins or must people call and make an appointment first?
We do both. We prefer appointments, but a lot of times we're booked up for a week or two, and so sometimes if your kid comes home sick or you get home from work and you find out your child is sick and your grandchild is sick and it's 5-6 o'clock in the evening, what are you going to do? So we have people walking in, they get home from work and they're going straight to the immediate care on the weekends, trying to take care of the stuff that you can't take care of during the week.
For our people that are listening, say your name so they put a face to, put a name to the voice that they've been hearing for the last few minutes here.
Oh, sure. David Anyadike, A-N-Y-A-D-I-K-E. I often tell people, older people know DKNY, the clothing brand, so I tell people it's like DKNY backwards. You can say my name, NYDK, and that works. People will understand.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And it's wonderful that this resource is available right there in Englewood. That's Englewood. I grew up in that neighborhood. I used to go to the theater not that far from where your clinic is located. But it's important, Dr. DQA, that people do avail themselves of this this particular thing. And if there anyone out there with a question for Dr. Ndike, give us a call. Number is 773-591-1690. We want to make sure that we get a chance to let our people talk to you. So go ahead. We've got a couple callers right now. So caller, you're on the air with your question. Go right ahead.
Hi, I didn't hear the whole thing, but I heard you talking about stresses and how children are being involved with things through the internet. But this is something I'm worried about. My grandson, I don't know if your pediatrics go up to age 15. I'm worried about him starting to worry about going to the war. And will that stress him out? Because, suicide is something that children, start to say, well, I don't want to be bothered. And they're having a hard time with the adults being so dysfunctional around them, and they feel that stress whether they say it or speak it. You know that they can feel it. And now I'm starting to worry about my grandson getting information that he could possibly be drafted to war. I know my son is definitely concerned about it, and I was concerned about my son's going to war for this country and the things that they say they have to go to war for. So we need something for that, too, if for slightly older children, not just street violence. What about the government violence and, religious clashing and violence and all of this? This is affecting the children where, war is not a good option for them after they have been prepared to go to college.
Well, thank you for that. Well, thank you. Certainly, Doctor, you want to respond?
Sure, yeah, definitely. One of the first things we want to talk about is for suicide. I mean, talking about suicide is not doesn't cause people to do it. So we definitely want to breach, to kind of talk about that subject, because that way you can find out what they're feeling and how they're feeling before something happens. I would talk to him about going to war. I would talk to him directly about it, and find out if he feels comfortable discussing it. If not, you know, have them talk to a counselor. That's something you could actually schedule with us or walk in. But yeah, I would talk with them directly. If you go to church, you know, you can have them talk to somebody at church or at the school. If there's a counselor at the school. For a lot of our patients, the school counselor is the best resource for these things. And a lot of the especially high school students, they end up going to see these counselors regularly. And it's a safe space at the school. So when they're having a rough day at school, et cetera, they can go see their counselor at the school. Then, you know, as teenagers too, if they're having a rough day, they can come, you know, to see our counselors here at the clinic. At the same time, one of the things I find myself saying often, and we are focused on kids today, but one of the best things you can do to take care of these kids is to take care of their parents and take care of their grandparents, meaning you. I'm usually talking to these parents who are stressed out about what's going on with their children. And this is stressful, not just for them, but for you. And it's important as a parent, as a caregiver, that you don't have to, even with the S on your chest, it's important sometimes that the caregivers take the time to see a counselor as well, to do what they need to balance out. Because everybody always says, you know, you can't pour out of your cup if it's empty. So make sure you fill your cup beforehand. So I wouldn't just address his needs, but make sure, you know, others in the family may want to see a counselor as well, get that support.
Thank you very much. We had a second caller. Caller, you're on there with your question. Go right ahead. Okay. If there's any other callers, we'll just want to make sure you get a chance. So call if you have a question. Call in now. So the number is 773-591-1690. That's 773-591-1690. You call in with your question so that we could get it answered for you right on the air. So, you know, because actually the time goes by faster than you think, and we'll be done and ready to go. But I want to make sure that we get your questions, because it's really, really important. And there are a lot of stressors out that the students, young people are dealing with. Doctor, what other stressors do you uncover sometimes in your conversations with some of the older children and even some of the younger children?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, if I can go back one last thing for that, the last caller, because suicide is important. It is something that is increasing in our community, especially among males. And so it's something that we don't want to ignore. They do have the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline now, the 988 number. To dial for resources. And if you are worried about somebody who is possibly suicidal, who's possibly going through something really difficult, anytime, day or night, you really do want to reach out and have them call that number yourself or have them call that number. They even have text-based crisis lines now, where the kids now who feel like they, you know, text better than they call can actually text counselors. So it's really, you know, we're trying to meet them where they're at and make sure they're getting the resources they need to get through some of these tough times. Some of the other stresses we see, to go back to your last question.
988, doctor, I just want to make sure they know that's 988. You want to talk about that? We talked about that with one of the other guests once before. Let's talk just a bit about that 988 number, what resource that will get people.
Yes, and so it'll get you the counselors you need, get you to the different resources that you need. It's really a blessing. It's been a lot of people worked hard to make that available. And so, yeah, it's just, it will get you to the counselor. It'll get you, and then they can, you know, figure out a way to get you to someone local to you who can then help you out at that point. Because it may be something, you know, when you're going through this, it may be a situation where you need something urgently done, or maybe where you can, you know, set up an appointment for later. But, you know, you don't want to make any, you know, decisions you'll regret later. So before you make, you know, a big decision, just, you know, dial that number, 988. You're not putting anybody out. These are people who want to be there, who want to listen, who want to help in these situations, and kind of help you work it out so, you know, things can get better. So, yeah, it's a very important resource. Definitely people need to reach out if they can and when they need to.
Yeah, I want everyone that wants to get a question through, please call in now so that we can make sure. It's important to me that I get these questions asked by answered by our guests, and they want to answer these questions. So please give us a call. The number is 773-591-1690. That's 773-591-1690. And that will get you, so we can get you in and you can ask your question right on the air. But it's been it's a wonderful conversation. And then, Doctor, I just want to know, have you seen a rise in, I know we have these stresses you just talked about, but things like obesity, are you seeing a rise in that in children and young adults?
Yes, we are seeing a lot of, we are seeing it more. And we do work on making sure people are eating well and active. Actually, this is a timely question because it is a long weekend. And so one of the things we see as far as diet is both weight gain and constipation, just because kids are not eating the food they should. And every Labor Day weekend, every Memorial Day weekend, 2 days after that cookout, the kids are constipated. All that junk that they ate at the cookout, none of it is fiber rich. None of it, not a lot of fruits, not a lot of vegetables there. A lot of the constipating foods like meat and the chicken and the chips and the junk. And so, we do actually get, a lot of constipation. And we do talk a lot to the families about making sure we're adjusting the diet. And a lot of times I end up pointing out not just the fruits and the vegetables that need to be improved, but making them aware of foods like white rice and white bread, which is constipating, or milk or meat or French fries, or the different foods that all come out hard, and say, look, the kid, if he's eating a lot of these foods, this may be the problem. Cutting down, if he loves white bread and he's eating it nonstop, that's going to be constipating him. So switching him to a whole wheat bread or brown rice, avoiding all the meat or junk food, and trying to find healthy options, it's going to work marvels for them. Sometimes this tummy ache that we're seeing in these kids, this stomach pain, is from this constipation. We've had a lot of kids come in with abdominal pain. They may have been to the emergency room, and it ends up that they just have to adjust the diet. And so, we always want to do things naturally if possible. We want to avoid medication. We want to avoid other kind of drastic stuff. But it's usually, we go back to it again, sleep and healthy food. Those are the basics of, making sure the kids can do well and do their best in different environments. And if you were talking about stresses earlier as well. Sorry. Oh, you had a question?
No, and the other thing I want to just follow up a little bit more on is the whole constipation piece, because that's something that is a huge, huge. I mean, we spend tens of millions of dollars in the United States for medications over the counter for constipation. Mm-hmm. And I think that I know you mentioned it very quickly, but if, we need to understand what causes constipation. I know time is quick, but if we could go back over, because this is one of my things that I really want folks to understand, that constipation is, you don't fix it with laxatives. You fix it by trying to change the food. Will you talk about that a bit?
Sure. Yeah, actually, I see constipation a lot. And so that's something that, we do end up talking about a lot. And you want to make sure you're eating healthy, fiber-rich foods. So food with lots of fiber in it that ends up being, the healthier foods, the colorful foods, the fruits and the vegetables. And so if the child has a favorite, a lot of times we want kids to eat a lot of vegetables, and I'm supposed to, be telling people to eat all your vegetables, but that's a battle that will take some time to win. So in the interim, in the meantime, we often say, if he or she's eating fruits, make sure you can get fruits into the diet. If it's a day they went to McDonald's, make sure you have some fruits afterwards, or get some apple slices there. Or, like I said, a day like today where we're going to a cookout, bring some fruits there for the kids to eat. Oranges are always a hit. Sweet oranges, although this year they haven't been so sweet. Grapes or other foods that that the kids will love. If they can mix that in their tummy with that junk, that's the fiber that holds the water in. Because a lot of times when we're eating junk food, a lot of times we say, they just need to drink more water and they'll be fine. But if there's no fiber in the food, the food can't absorb that water. You will just pee it out. It's all that water they drink comes out as pee, and then they're going to the bathroom hard and difficult. And so sometimes it's the adults too. Sometimes it's the families eating the same sort of foods. Everybody's got harder poop. I'm used to talking about pooping in my practice, but it's different talking about it on the radio. It's
okay.
Very important that we. Yeah, I know. It's different. As a pediatrician, I'm usually a goofy kind of guy, so I'm used to talking about everything. Hopefully everybody's okay with me talking about the poop. But it is important. And a lot of times, because especially with the babies too, we see it with the kids. Sometimes when there's a change in diet, these little babies start having harder poops. And so we need to make some adjustments there too. A lot of times it's just making sure they're eating those fruits and those vegetables regularly. And making sure they're getting used to those fruits and vegetables makes it easier for them when they're older. Because sometimes we let the 2-year-olds and the 3-year-olds eat a lot of junk, but that's the age when we choose what they eat. So getting them used to eating fruits and vegetables is a great way to make it easier for them to do that later on. You did mention laxatives. If I can touch on that really quickly, I'm sorry.
Go right ahead, please.
Yeah, because the laxatives can cause problems themselves. The suppositories and laxatives, if we end up using them very often, can make it a little worse in the long term. They're a great short-term fix, but we don't want to be using that over and over again. And that's definitely you don't want to have to go to the doctor for everything. We have busy lives. But if we have hard poops that aren't going away, make sure you talk to your healthcare provider and find some solutions.
Let's talk a little quickly about lactose intolerance, and then the use of medications for constipation.
Okay.
The pros and cons.
We have for constipation, I can finish up on that. We have been moving towards more fiber gummies or the Miralax, which is basically, it works the same way as fiber does to hold water in the poop. So it's a great way to get, to loosen everything up while you work on the child's appetite. Because a lot of times if your stomach doesn't feel good, your appetite's going to go down. If your tummy doesn't feel well, it doesn't want to be putting a lot of food in there. So what I often tell people is that when they're constipated, their mouth wants to eat, but their stomach doesn't. So their mouth wants to eat all the tasty food, the junk food, the sweet food, the McDonald's food. That's what their mouth wants to eat because their tummy's not really interested in food. So if you can kind of clean them out with, some extra fiber, with some Relax, and get the tummy feeling better, then it's easier to get them eating food that's good for them, the healthier foods, the fruits, the vegetables. And so that little cleaning out period is good to get them started on newer, healthier foods. Sorry, what was the other question, the second part?
I was just talking about the role that these medications play. I mean, they're not to be substitutes for changing what people eat and the role that water plays in bowel movements, just drinking water, not stuff that contains it, but drinking water.
Right. Drinking water, staying active too, because being active, walking, getting around, all that helps to get everything moving down there. So a lot of times you'll find, drinking more water, a healthier diet, getting active. You'll see there's a lot of similarity in the things I talk about. The solutions for a lot of these things come down to the basics. A lot of times people are looking for a quick fix, but it's trying to get back to the basics. And especially if you're in a neighborhood where it's hard to get those addressed, sometimes we have to work together, as a physician and with some of the different resources in the community to find a way to get those things addressed properly. But
we've got a couple more minutes, and I want to make sure that people know we've got a couple more minutes. If you've got a question, 773-591-1690. You can get your call in, so we want to get your answers. We're having a wonderful conversation, and it's something that actually I'll be talking to a men's group, and we'll be talking about constipation. We got so much that we don't know that's going on. We got a question. Caller with your question. Go right ahead.
Dr. Terry, I just called and I thought he was going to come back on the line because I had a second question.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Now, if you're a person and you're working and you don't have a lot of time to stand and cook like greens and clean them and all of that. What about, and I got another question after that. What about these pouches for 2 and 3 year olds? They can use them and they cost about $4 or $5 and they have like kale and, you know, things like that mixed with fruit. And also the drinks like the vegetable fruit drinks, you know, the healthy food. Is this any good for like replacing like the fresh vegetable? Like if you cook it, is it the same or what's up with that?
I'll leave our pediatrician to answer that as we wind down. Go right ahead.
Well, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, yes. From what I've seen, they are a good option. They do make it more convenient because, yeah, it is. You just have to. It's hard to figure out ways to keep, you know, providing healthy food when you're so busy. You know, a lot of times we end up, you know, cooking a little extra because, you know, they complain about leftovers. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, the leftovers are healthier than, you know, the other stuff we pick up on the way home. But yeah, from what I've seen, and it's important, you know, talking to your provider as well about reading the back of a lot of the foods that are provided to make sure that they are healthy options. The ones that I've seen have been good. I can't comment on all of them, but it does look like the ones I've seen have been good options.
My daughter is a eye doctor, and so she's working, and she doesn't have the time to stand and do the greens. Well, she'll get like the Evolution drinks and those pouches that cost like $4 or $5 each. But another thing I want to say to you, Dr. Terry, he said, mention the church. If I go to a church now and I hear options about war, I will crack up. If it had not been for the Muslim persuasion of Elijah Muhammad, and he went over to the Middle East, he's dealt with these people, and it's without violence, without bombing, and without polluting the whole earth or taking from the people in the Middle East. And he came up with some good solutions that actually helped America take care of the black males and, you know, from all the problems that they're having. And so don't forget that the Muslim churches are, mosques are available for conversation about, you know, why people make decisions the way they make them.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for your comment. You know, it's really important. I really want to thank you, Doctor, for the time you spent with us today, because constipation is children, and children is sometimes overlooked. And what are some things that parents should be looking for to determine whether or not their child may or may not be constipated? And I don't mean so badly that they're having abdominal pain, but what should they be looking for as we get close?
Yeah, it can be difficult if they're not having too many symptoms. But, you know, if they're super young, we always end up checking, you know, we oftentimes end up checking what they're doing in the bathroom. But you'll see, yeah, if they're taking a long time to go to the bathroom, if it seems, you know, if they were going much more frequently, now it seems like they're going a lot less often, or if it just seems, you know, uncomfortable for them. But, yeah, you can check with them and see and make sure. Yeah, a lot of times you have to check. You actually have to check and see it, because they won't tell you, because they don't know what normal is. They, you know, they see these big, you know, things coming out. They think that's normal, and they don't think to question it. So that's what they've always, you know, that things change. So, yeah, but we can, if there's any issues or any other issues, just make sure they're eating healthy foods. Make sure that balanced food is going to give them more energy, help them get through the day, help them focus. It's, you do what you can. You figure out ways to get, you know, affordable options for these things. But yeah, it's somewhat worth it. It's really worth it.
Well, as we get ready to close, we've got about 2 minutes left. You want to leave the audience with some take-home messages, or a couple of take-home messages that, based on what you've seen and some of the things we've talked about today on the show?
It's really difficult now. It's a hard time to raise kids. It used to be tough with, you know, just the people in the family giving you different things to say. Now you've got, you know, 3 people in the family telling you different things, and 8 people on the internet telling you different things, and they're all completely different ways to fix the problems that you have. And so it's important to find somebody you trust to answer these questions for you. I hope you have a provider you trust, but, you know, reach out to them and make sure that they can answer these questions for you. It often comes down to the basics. We often want a big, quick fix, but making sure they're eating well, a balanced diet. If you find something that the kids will eat that's healthy, I would lean on that and then kind of expand and try to do more. Sleep is big. Depending on their age, they're going to need more sleep. So that's something not to forget. A 6-year-old needs more sleep than a 16-year-old. A 16-year-old is going to get 8 or 9 hours. A 6-year-old is going to need 11 or 10 or 11 or even 12 hours to not be getting upset the next day, to not be having behavioral issues, to not be falling asleep on the car ride home from school. So all these basics here are super important. I also like to, you know, for the team users, kind of get them looped in with some career options and career resources, because a lot of times they're stressed out about what they're going to do when school ends. What are these, what options are available to me? My school's not presenting me with a lot of options. So it's tough. They want to figure out what they need to do. So reach out where we can take care of them too. I would gladly see them in the clinic if anybody has any questions.
Let's give them the contact information one more time, a couple times, so they have it down. Give it to them slowly and at least twice, maybe three times. We can squeeze it in.
My name is Dr. Anya Dike. It's AnyaAdike. And I'm the pediatrician on 79th Street at the Miles Square Health Center in Auburn Gresham. You can reach us at 312-996-2000. I think I'm going a little too quickly, but we're located at 839 West 79th Street. 839 West 79th at the corner of 79th and Halstead, right by Leo High School. And we do have walk-ins. So if, you know, we're not open today, but, and we're not open tomorrow, actually we're closed tomorrow. But on Tuesday, you know, we're open 6 days a week, but come in Tuesday, you might walk in, let us take care of you, and we'll make sure it's addressed. We can address your needs.
Dr. Soap, thank you so much. You've put out a lot of information. You know, that means that you got to come back, right? You know that you got to come back. and I'm excited to have you back, because there's a lot we could talk about, talking more about how we can pick up things, how we can watch our children for cues for things they may be going on and not talking to us about, but there's bothering them nonetheless. But so thank you so much, Dr. Nyadike. I appreciate it. And thank you, my listeners. Always, 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 thank you so much for being there. And that's it for the Doctor in the House. The next voice you're going to hear is Miss Pam Morris-Walton, who's coming to make a joyful noise onto the radio. And until next week at the same time and station, may God continue to bless each and every one of you with continued health and strength as I leave you now in peace.
Open eyes that we
The Talk of Chicago is 16.